Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Simon Constable in Paradise, the South of France, joins. Comment first on the South of France and why it is a choice residence for people leaving the United Kingdom in its troubles and for people leaving the United States in its troubles. Choice. Why? Here in southern New England, we have an inch and a half of slush on the ground already, and it's just barely December. Simon, a very good day to you. I've heard that no snow flies in southern France. How's your climate? Good evening to you.
Good evening to you, John. In the last week, we have had a minuscule amount of snow. It must be 0.1 of a centimeter, so really next to nothing, and it lasted about half an hour before it melted and then disappeared and evaporated. So not much snow at all, not much snow expected. In fact, zero snow expected, at least for the time being or the foreseeable future, whatever you want to call it. Lately, it has been a bit misty, which is actually quite romantic to go out in the mist and see how things look. And it's been relatively warm, below 41 today, and the high 46, you know, clouds up there, but that's better than being pounded by what they call an orage, which is a storm where you get the wind and the rain coming down on you very heavily. That hasn't been happening. It's also been very good to take the dogs out, and they seem to really love it. Lyra and Juno have been enjoying going off the leash in open fields and then body slamming each other, and they really seem to enjoy that. They don't hurt each other. They just enjoy, you know, playing pranks with each other, and it's absolutely lovely.
The farmers' fields, are they empty now? Are they planting? What is the cycle for this time of year?
Well, we only ever take them into fields that are basically hay fields. You know, it's just grass growing. It's not where you've got crops growing. I guess grass becomes hay, and that is in a way a crop, but it's not for crops that you think of like wheat, like sunflowers, et cetera, et cetera. It's come to a bit of a halt at the moment, and I expect we'll see a lot of tractors out even at midnight to start planting in early January. We're not getting that right now, and that's probably good because these farmers work all the time and they do need a rest. And I really salute them for their stamina.
Lights are up in Milan for Christmas. Do you put lights on the churches in Albi and the local villages?
They're up. They're up already. It's typical to have them up starting December 1st, which is the beginning of Advent. And then if you live here where I live, you go out and you get Advent calendars, which have pieces of chocolate inside, which you can, you know, get one a day, which is fantastic. And luckily, each one of us in this house has one of these fantastic things, which we always should have had. Fantastic stuff. Do you have an Advent calendar with chocolates hiding inside?
I do not. I have retired from chocolate, Simon. Lifetime quantity reached. Although there are chocolate consumers surrounding me. I'm an island of thou shalt not. We turn to another commodity, not cocoa beans, of chocolate origin, but coffee. of great note that the coffee prices have been going up and up here, especially for Dunkin' Donuts. How are the coffee prices in Europe?
Very similar, $4.03 per pound. It's still up 33% from this time last year. You're going to pay a heck of a lot more than that in the shop. So if you want 1 kilo of Arabica beans, you're going to be paying about 20 euros. So make that about $22. That's a lot of money.
Yes, coffee is a dear product these days for the mornings. Now we move over to what really matters for growth in Europe, which isn't much. Energy and copper. What have you seen?
Well, on the energy front, things keep going down in price, which is great in some ways and not so great in other ways. So the electricity price is now down to 28 euros, which is the lowest I've seen for a while being here. And it's down 40% versus this time last year. And I don't think that's anything to do with basically to do with, oh, great, there's a lot of energy out there and that's fantastic. I think this is because businesses aren't using it as much as they were before. The economy isn't doing very well across the whole of Europe, I can tell you, apart from perhaps Poland, but Poland's a fairly small country. You got Brent crude, which is down 13% on the year. It's at $63, and it's been hovering around there for the last year. And that doesn't seem good either for that point of view, which is that the business is not happening globally. And that's where Brent crude comes in. Copper, it just seems to stay high and get a little bit higher and a little bit higher and a little bit higher. And it's up 29% over a year. That is very unusual.
Simon and I come to the copper story that is featured today as the big read in the Financial Times. For some time now, Simon has been reporting on the high price of copper climbing over the last year and over the last several years. Why? The easy answer is data centers, but that's not all of it. I read from the Financial Times story. Demand for copper is being boosted by the construction of grid infrastructure for the green transition. This is Europe talking. And to power data centers for artificial intelligence. That's America talking. These need between 27 and 33 tons of copper per megawatt of power, according to Grupo Mexico, over twice the requirement of conventional data centers. BHP, the world's largest mining group by market value and a shareholder in the Resolution company that's digging beneath the southwest of America, estimated in January that the amount of copper used in data centers worldwide will grow sixfold by 2050. Simon and I looked at 2050, where all of you lucky people will be here to account for the price of copper. It will only be higher. But the estimate, demand for copper in the U.S., right? This is global. This is not U.S.
Global.
31 million tons annually right now. By 2050, which is 25 years, it will be 40 to 50 million tons demand worldwide. And we learned from this copper story that we don't have it right now. Now, Simon, I'm counting on your old proverb, which is the answer to high prices is high prices. Do you think it'll work for copper?
Oh, I think it will. I think we're already beginning to see copper wire being stolen from derelict houses. And one of the things that's really destructive about that is that to get the plastic wrapping out of the copper, off the copper wire, people tend to burn that. And that often tends to burn houses down when the burning stopped. And that's really a really terrible situation. But you will see a lot of copper being stolen by people who will then take it to scrap yards for it to be recycled and brought back into the market. Now, that will help keep supply up, but it's not a very noble way to behave, really. I don't think that's very good. I do think the high prices will get the mining companies to move, but it takes a long time to get a new mine for copper going. A new mine of any sort can be very hard to get going for a variety of reasons.
Let's be detailed about China. Everybody's looking at China. 9% of the world's copper is out of China, just 9%. That's all they have. However, they have claims on up to 20% because of their contracts in Chile and Peru, for example. So China's got a vulnerable supply line. I mention because the leadership in Beijing recently has been waving rare earths as a problem for the West unless they comply with China's demands. Copper makes it in reverse. Also, what we have here is demand in the U.S. being slowed by regulation. That is also true in Europe. That will disappear as the demand for copper rises. Simon, I did hear you mention old houses that are being ransacked for copper. The waste from copper processing, copper mining, is big mounds out old around old mines. The price of copper is now reaching a point where that's worthwhile going back and mining or whatever they process.
Absolutely it is. When you have a reserve of minerals, you look at it and say, well, is it worth getting this out of the ground and refining it, et cetera, et cetera. The higher the price that is, the more likely it is that even if there's a very small amount of copper in a pile of what they call, what they call leftovers, then you can suck that out of it. When the price gets up, even higher, maybe $10 per pound or $20 per pound, who knows how high it's going to go. But the higher it goes, the more is going to be taken up from the spoil heap.
The International Energy Agency, this is the FT story, said this year, said that by 2035, production from existing and planned mines, that's all we have right now, was on track to meet only 70% of global demand. Existing producers are chasing mergers in order to increase their reserves and lower costs as best they can. It's a losing story, Simon, and we're not being alarmist here. You've got a 10 or 25-year lead here to account for that. One thing that needs to happen is the data centers need to be more efficient, but you send me a detail from the Microsoft data center in Chicago. Is that where this is? Chicago. It used 27 tons of copper for every megawatt of applied power that it used in a data center. So that's how much copper is out there right now and how much the data centers will be demanding. We mentioned we're going to continue following the copper price because it is a way of expressing the growth of the new economy, the AI economy. Yes, Europe will use it for green. A lot of copper goes into EVs. I understand that. But the data centers are the big demand. Simon, right now in the south of France, you don't have excessive building going on. Is that correct? You don't see residents going up around you or villages expanding?
Not at all. It really isn't happening that way in the rural areas. In some of the bigger cities, and there really is only one massive city, and that's Paris. The other ones that might say they are big are nothing in size compared to that. That would be Marseille and Bordeaux. But the rest of them, and in the rural areas, it's just right. It's not happening at all. One thing we didn't add into this list of uses of copper is for shells, and that includes bullets as well. So the bullet casings.
Oh, yeah, the demands of defense. Good to bring that up.
And it's very important because that stuff can be recovered fairly quickly. It's made of brass, which is copper and zinc, and that goes together to make the casing. But those could be retrieved and sent back to a refinery to make a new one, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So that could be a very useful thing to happen.
We're talking about the Ukraine battlefield once the shooting stops, maybe even before the shooting stops. Simon Constable, writing for The Wall Street Journal and Barron's and other distinguished publications. He's in the south of France, and when we come back, we're going to go to the nightmare of England and taxes, what Simon thinks he left behind. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel, or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US Soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.